Chapter 11.
Holy shit!
Becca whispered, and Hae-won mumbled something in Korean. I couldn't take my eyes off the way the dinos were moving. They walked in slow and steady circles, as if they were trying to intimidate the people inside Raven Hall. They had acres of land to roam on out there, but their path stayed near the building, and even from this distance I could feel their footsteps through the ground. There's a whole fucking selection up there, I said. That's a Spinosaurus, and an Allosaurus just plodding along together like buddies. We've never seen this before. Becca whimpered, and her face was utterly drained of color as she looked up the hill. Then a rattling scream rang out above us, and the rest of the dinos looked toward the sky as the sound of massive wings approached. Get in the trees, I hissed, as I leapt off my bike, and we all raced into the cover of the dense woodlands. Our feet kicked up dirt as we sprinted away from the road, and we only stopped when we had gone a few rows of deep trees. Then we dove behind the trunk of a large oak tree, and I rested my finger on the cool metal trigger of my rifle as the heavy flapping sound drew closer. The treetops provided an effective barrier, and although we could see the vague shape of something in the sky, we were shielded from view. The shadow hovered above us for a moment, and it wavered back and forth over the area. Then the shape finally moved on with another rattling scream. The four of us waited, and none of us dared to make a sound as the winged creature carried on its way. After a few minutes had passed, Hae-won motioned for us to stay still, and she silently edged closer to the road. Her ninja-like footsteps were so light that she barely left any marks in the dirt, and her raven-black hair swung behind her as she crept forward with her rifle at the ready. I kept my rifle aimed at the treetops and waited for Hae-won to peek out to the hill. The Korean gave us the thumbs up, and the rest of us jogged over to meet her. Then we all looked out from behind the trees to see a creature almost double the size of a pterodactyl swoop low over the crowd of dinosaurs. It was a slightly brighter green than we had seen on flying dinos before, and it had a yellow helmet-like addition to its beak. The massive wingspan narrowly missed the head of the Spinosaurus, but none of the land dwellers snapped at it or tried to attack. Instead, they just kept their slow walk going, and a few of them roared into the sky. "So, what have we got?" I whispered. "A Spinosaurus, Allosaurus, whatever the hell that flying thing is. And I could see another big one on the other side."
"I think there's two on the other side,"
Hae-won said as she went on her tiptoes.
"We'll see them when they move around, since they seem to be walking in a slow circle. Am I high on painkillers, or is this actually happening?"
Becca asked. "Unless we're all having the same hallucination, it's real," I sighed. "This is fucked up. What are they all doing? They're not even attacking the place. It's like they're trying to come up with the best plan of action before they make a move."
"Brainstorming dinosaurs,"
Hae-won said as she shook her head slowly.
"This is new. Not too new,"
Kat muttered, and kept her gaze on the castle grounds.
"You saw the video from Peterborough. Those Allosauruses did the same thing."
"Shit. You're right. Those dinos waited for the gate to open."
"Yep."
The soldier sent me a sidelong glance, and the muscle in her jaw tensed.
"Should we attack?"
Becca asked.
"We could use the grenade launchers."
"No," I said. "I mean, if we can find a way in without being noticed, then I say we do that. We have no idea how many other dinos are in the area, and so far they're all huge. Becca, you said your mom had a key for a staff entrance. Is that around the back?"
"Sort of,"
the blonde replied, but her eyes were still fixed on the scene up the hill.
It's around the side. The side nearest the cliff edge. How are we going to get all the way up there unnoticed?"
Kat asked, as she studied the hillside.
"If we go around the side of this hill, then we'll be mostly out of view from this group. But by the time we get near the castle, these dinos will have circled around, and there's no way we could sneak past.
Especially with the one in the sky,"
Becca added.
"The grenades,"
Hae-won insisted.
"We don't need to use them on the dinos, but if we fire one off in the other direction, it might distract them long enough for us to get in."
"You just really want to blow something up, don't you?"
Kat asked.
"Yes."
Hae-won nodded with an evil but still very adorable grin. "That could work," I grinned. "If we get most of the way over there unseen, and then send a grenade into the fields, it'll at least give us a couple of minutes.
Why don't we just do it now?
Heiwan asked.
Get them out of the way to begin with.
I don't think so, I said, as I glanced up at the circle of dinos. The drive around is too far for us to make it before they lose interest in the grenade. I don't know what the fuck is going on with these guys, but if they're smart enough to plan an organized attack, then they might be smart enough to work out a distraction. The first grenade could fool them, but what if the second one didn't?
Okay.
Kat nodded as she tucked her curls behind her ears.
That's fucking creepy. But it's a good point. We get up the far side of the hill as quickly as possible, and then we fire off a grenade down onto the fields.
That's it, I agreed. I reckon that'll give us the best chance of luring them away. Becca, can you get your grenade launcher ready? You're going to be our grenade girl and shoot while Kat drives.
But I wanted to blow something up,
Heiwan said and sent me puppy dog eyes. I know you did, I replied. But you're on a motorcycle, and this is just the most logical...
Sorry, Heiwan,
Becca snickered.
You can have your turn to blow something to smithereens next time.
The raven-haired beauty smirked and rolled her eyes. But then she took a deep breath and got super serious.
Come on, then,
the Korean hissed.
Let's get this shot on the road.
The Korean didn't say another word before she bolted back to her motorbike, and her long black hair whipped behind her while not a single twig cracked under her boots. She kept her rifle clutched steadily in one hand while the other one pumped beside her, and the Glock on her hip shimmied with every step. It was so hot when Heiwan was in full combat mode, and I was suddenly motivated by the thought of pulling her close in a castle hotel room. I raced after my Korean lover and jumped back onto my bike, and Kat opened her storage box to help Becca get the grenade launcher loaded up. I could hear Heiwan join them and ask for a grenade of her own, and Kat chuckled but didn't deny her.
Just in case,
the Korean insisted. As the girls got their weapons ready, I kept my eyes scanning the top of the hill. The dull thud of footsteps had almost become background noise over the last few minutes. The steps were so slow and steady that it didn't sound like any normal herd, but of course, it wasn't a normal herd. If different dinosaur species had started to join forces in the hunt for human flesh, then this added a new terrifying challenge into the mix. There had been more and more proof that they only cared about hunting people, and the bizarre display of peace between the dinos just confirmed that.
Okay,
Becca whispered as she climbed into the jeep with Kat.
Let's go save my mum.
Stay close to the tree line, I instructed. The road goes straight up the middle of the hill, but we're not following it that far. We'll go off-road around the base of the hill to the other side. That'll give us about 10 acres of distance between us and them for most of the way. With all their roaring, they shouldn't notice the sound of our engines.
Don't jinx it,
Kat added. Once we're on the other side of the hill, we start to climb, I continued. About 3/4 of the way up is when you'll let off the grenade, Becca. Unless any of them look like they might spot us, then just go for it.
I can't believe we're driving into the huge crew of dinosaurs,
Kat muttered.
Becca, you better be ready to fire that thing in the blink of an eye, because there isn't anywhere to hide if that lot sees us.
Okay, guys, I said. Keep your voices low and your vehicles fast. Let's go. We drove forward through the woodland for a ways, and then we turned off the road that led up to the Raven Hall entrance. Instead, we kept driving along the bottom of the hillside and into the emerald green grounds. We didn't slow down until we were directly below the other side of the castle, and we only stopped long enough to survey the area. The flying dino swooped lazily around its group on the opposite edge of the hill, and there were a few bushy trees on the hilltop that shielded us slightly from its line of sight. I signaled for the girls to start driving up the hill, and my palms were sweaty as I gripped the handles of my bike. As we got further up the slope, the sun started to creep out from behind the clouds and shone on the dull scales of the dinos in the distance. I could see a couple huge tails swinging, and the rigid back of the massive Spinosaurus swayed with every step it took. I kept expecting one of the dinos to glance over and meet my gaze. If that happened, we would have to take our chances driving straight back into the woods or even onto the beach. We crept further up the green lawn, and still none of the scaly beasts looked down. Their heavy footfalls and frequent roars were so loud that our engine noises were covered, and every time one of the creatures roared, the vibrations shook lightly through my bike's frame. Those bastards were huge. I scanned the short stone wall that surrounded Raven Hall, and it looked like the only gap was at the front where the road led into the grounds. We were close to the top of the hill, and I waved a hand to slow down the girls. "We have two options," I hissed, as I checked that the trees above still hid us from view. "We can either drive through the front gate when Becca sends off the grenade, or we hide the bikes and jeep and jump over." The flying dino shrieked, and the girls looked warily over at the front entrance.
"We don't even know if all of them will be distracted by the grenade,"
Cat whispered.
"I don't think going in the main gate is smart. As much as I don't want to leave my jeep here, we have more of a chance if we go on foot around the back."
"I agree,"
Haywan nodded.
"We can hide the motorbikes and car under those trees near the wall. Besides, Becca said there's a side entrance, so we hopefully won't need the main door at all."
"We're going to have to hope there's someone to let us in, too," I added, "because like Kat said, there aren't many hiding spots."
"The windows look boarded up,"
Haywan observed.
"That means we can't even break in if nobody answers."
"Well, then let's hope karma's good to us today," I said grimly.
"I think we should get as close as we can to the trees before we set off the grenade,"
Haywan said.
"Their footsteps are loud enough to cover the engines."
"But won't they smell us if we get any closer?"
Becca hissed as she clutched her rifle close.
"And how am I meant to jump the wall with my gammy leg?"
"We're downwind,"
Kat pointed out, while she held her hand out the window. "We'll help you with the wall," I added. "Okay, we get right up under those trees and park. Becca, you shoot just before we get there. Aim the grenade right over to the side of the hill. The second they're distracted, we park and run." It felt wrong to be purposefully driving toward a herd of dinos, and with every second my clammy hands tightened on the bike handles. We were almost at the top of the hill, and I nodded at Becca. The blonde maneuvered herself so she knelt on her seat and leaned out of the jeep window. Then she aimed her grenade launcher high into the air, and just as we were about to reach the cover of the tree branches, she pulled the trigger. The explosive soared off to the fields on the other side of the road. I skidded to a halt next to Haywan, and Kat hit the brakes. There was an earth-shattering uproar from the mismatched herd, and multiple heavy tails swung into the building as the dinos turned to watch the explosion. The heavy wings of the flying dino immediately soared off to explore, and we heard heavy footsteps pounding away to follow. We all cut our engines, and I jumped off my bike and peered around the side of a tree. My girls all clustered behind me while I surveyed the area, and it looked like the closest grounds of Raven Hall were totally clear.
"Everyone go!" I hissed. "Now!"
Haywan and Kat leapt over the wall in a split second, and I grabbed Becca's waist to help lift her over. Haywan reached back to help lower her blonde friend to the ground, and I jumped over onto the gravel to join the girls.
"That's the staff door,"
Becca hissed, and I grabbed her hand to help her as we hurried toward a white door with golden detailing. I looked over to the castle grounds as we ran, and I could see the dinos had made their way halfway down the hill in just a few seconds. Their enormous legs lumbered onward, and their heads cocked as they roared at the smoking hillside. When we reached the building, Kat hammered on the white door, and I hoped no dinos were left to hear her. Without our engines running, there was nothing but the distant roars of the dinos on the breeze, and the sudden quiet made my heart hammer anxiously.
"Help!"
Haywan cried as she banged on the painted wood as well.
"Please, we need to get in! We're here with Becca! We're going to get killed if you don't let us in!"
Becca hissed against the doorframe. Then I froze as the sound of distant footsteps and wings seemed to quiet all at once.
"Wait here," I whispered,
and I let go of Becca to creep over to the side of the building. The girls continued to plead, and I slowly looked around to check the herd was still preoccupied. The flying dino was swooping down over the road where we'd driven near the woods, and I wondered if it had caught our scent. I couldn't see the land dinosaurs from here since they were blocked by the wall and hillside, but the lack of roars concerned me.
"Please!"
Becca pleaded as she hammered on the door again.
"Becca, keep it down!"
I started to hiss, but it was too late. The flying dino sharply turned its head up to Raven Hall, and it shrieked before it started to soar straight at us.
"Go!"
I yelled as I turned and raced back to the girls.
"We need to run! Now!"
"Where?"
Kat gasped.
"Fucking anywhere but here! That winged guy is..."
At that moment, the white door swung open, and I didn't even look to see who had opened it. I just shoved my three girls through the entrance like a damn bulldozer, and I jumped in behind them. Right as I slammed the door shut, I heard the whoosh of huge wings soar past outside, and the flying dino cried out with a rattling scream. I could hear its massive beak snapping together, and the sound sent a shiver down my spine.
"Too close,"
I gasped, and I gave an apologetic look to the girls who were clambering up from the floor.
"Sorry, guys. I know that wasn't exactly chivalrous, but it was either get shoved or get eaten."
"Don't worry,"
Kat said, as she dusted herself down and helped Becca up.
"I don't break easily."
"I know you don't," I snickered.
"Hi,"
Haywan said in a small voice, and I suddenly remembered someone opened the door for us. I spun around to see a wide-eyed, middle-aged man in a crisp white shirt and black pants. He was a good-looking guy, and he had neatly gelled dark hair with a clean-shaven face.
Hello,
the man replied, and his eyes darted between me and the three girls.
"What's all this, then? Look like you've all been through the ringer."
It's a long story," I sighed, as I heard the flying dino scream again.
Then I looked around the room and realized we were in some kind of large pantry. There were silver food carts piled high with expensive-looking tableware, and large freezers lined the walls. The ceiling was high, and the floor was a dark hardwood, and the area smelled sickly sweet, as if we were in a bakery.
"Should we barricade the door?"
Kat asked as she eyed the freezers.
"That thing could easily headbutt its way in here if it wanted to."
"Could it?"
the man asked.
"Oh, well, perhaps we should."
The man's lack of reasoning concerned me quite a lot, but he was quick to hurry over and unplug a freezer. Kat and I headed over to help him shove it toward the white door, and without any wheels underneath it, the work was backbreaking. This meant it'd be a bitch to break through, though, so I didn't mind the labor.
"Is my mum here?"
Becca asked nervously.
"Who's your mother?"
the man grunted.
"Debbie?"
Becca's voice broke over the word.
"We came all the way from Cambridge. Please tell me she's here."
"Good grief," the man scoffed, and his eyes widened. "You're Rebecca? Thank God for that." We all stared at the man, but he turned and raced out of the pantry without another word. His footsteps echoed down the corridor as he ran off, and I raised an eyebrow.
"What's he doing?"
Haywan asked.
"He knew my name,"
Becca whispered.
"She must be here. Or maybe she was here. Oh my God, what if we're too late?"
"Hey," I said gently and stroked her arm. "Don't get ahead of yourself. I'm sure..."
"Becca?"
Our heads all snapped around to see a blonde, middle-aged woman standing in the doorway. She was as beautiful as her daughter, but with more laugh lines on her face. And she wore a bold red lipstick and had her golden hair pinned up in a messy bun. Her attire was bizarre, though. The beautiful woman wore a tight blue dress with combat boots, and a diamond-studded belt full of kitchen knives hitched around her waist. Golden hoop earrings dangled above her noticeably wide shoulders, and her nails were painted bright red to match her lips. I would have known who she was even if she hadn't spoken, and I almost fell to my knees with the wave of relief and excitement that washed over me.
"Mum!"
Becca whispered, and then the blonde ran into her mother's arms and started to sob. Both women clutched each other like their lives depended on it, and Becca howled as the older woman rocked them back and forth. Haywan had her hands over her mouth, and Kat grinned as they watched. I couldn't stop smiling either. We had made it. All of the moments we risked our lives and came close to defeat had been worth it. I couldn't decide if I wanted to laugh or cry from the relief of seeing Becca's mother alive, but it felt like 10 pounds had just been lifted off my shoulders. After a few moments, the two women pulled apart and looked at each other as they held hands.
"Guys,"
Becca sniffed,
"this is my mum."
"Call me Debbie,"
the woman said, and she had a much deeper voice than Becca. It was husky in a way that gave me goosebumps, and it matched her bold red lips perfectly.
"Now, can someone please tell me what in the holy hell is going on here? How did you find me, my little baby?"
"It's all because of them,"
Becca smiled as she nodded toward me.
"Jason, Haywan, and Kat, they got me here, Mum."
"We wouldn't have made it without Becca," I grinned. "Nice to finally meet you, Debbie."
"Are you shagging an American?"
Debbie asked,
You're damn right I am,
Becca snorted. The two beautiful blondes both snickered together before she came over to me, and I ended up locked in a surprisingly strong hug. Debbie had a thick, flowery perfume on, and she made sure to squeeze my biceps as she stepped back to examine me.
Bloody hell, Becca,
Debbie chuckled as she looked over at Heywan and Kat.
Is there some rule about only hotties surviving the apocalypse?
Oh, please don't say hotties,
Becca groaned.
I love them, Mum. They mean the world to me. Jason protects us, and we all love him. So it's not all about looks, all right? He just happens to be the most handsome guy around. It's a coincidence.
Debbie snorted at the statement, but then she grabbed my collar and pulled me down to plant a lipsticked kiss on my cheek. My eyebrows shot up as she roughly released my collar, and Becca sighed like such a daughter.
You got a magic dick or something?
Debbie boldly inquired.
Mum!
Becca scoffed and blushed.
I'm not daft, dearie,
the woman chuckled.
These pretty young things all hanging around certainly implies it. And I can smell the sex off all four of you like booze on Tony Blair. But I tell you, if I was 20 years younger, I would be trying to take a ride on this handsome Yank's joystick too. But I'm not as spry as I... Oh, bloody hell, Mum!
Becca groaned, but she couldn't stop smiling.
I come all this way, and the first thing you do is perv on my friends.
Anyway, Debbie,
Heywan casually interrupted.
It's lovely to be here. Could we have a tour? Oh, honey.
The woman laughed as she rubbed dirt from Heywan's cheek with her thumb.
You will get a tour, a meal, and a nice salt bubble bath. The works. Come on, let's go.
Becca grabbed her mom's hand, and they led us out of the pantry into a large hallway with the same hardwood floor. There was a reception area, a wide staircase lined with red carpet, and tall cream walls that were decorated with oil paintings of landscapes. A room was up ahead, and the sound of murmuring voices drifted through the large hall. Debbie led us over to the open room, and she showed us into a huge space that was clearly meant for weddings and other events. The dark floorboards were spotless, and there were white chairs piled high in the corner of the room by the long windows. Each window had been boarded up with planks of wood, and red velvet curtains hung beside them. Several round tables were pushed together to make one large dining spot for the group, who all turned to look as we came in. There looked to be about 30 or so people, mostly adults, but a couple of young kids sat on the floor with toys.
Everyone,
Debbie announced to the room,
this is my flawless daughter, Becca, and these pretty friends of hers are Jason, Awan, and Kat. They came all the way from Cambridge, and I'm dying to hear all about it. So let's get ready for a proper lunch.
The dark-haired man from earlier hurried into the room with a large pot, and the smell of onions and garlic made my stomach rumble.
Jerry,
Debbie said,
thanks so much for coming to get me, honey. This is Becca.
My name's Gerald, the man mumbled. Nice to meet you all.
He ushered past and placed the pot on one of the round tables, and a younger man with a lip piercing started to arrange plates and cutlery. There was a loud roar outside, and the group all looked warily at the boarded-up windows as they shook with a set of heavy footsteps. Kat said.
Do you guys just sit and eat soup with giant dinosaurs stomping around outside?
I think it's chilly today,
Debbie replied as she peered over at the food being dished out.
It's always bloody chilly.
Smells good to me, I said.
But Kat has a point. Do you guys have some kind of guard system? Is there a plan?
I'll bloody stab the cheeky bastards if they come in here,
Debbie said as she grabbed a bread knife from her makeshift tool belt, and she waved it around in the air like a vigilante.
That's the bloody plan.
Mum,
Becca sighed,
you realize you can't kill them with a fucking knife, right? We have military-grade weapons, and I still got my leg mauled.
You what?
Debbie yelled, and then she bent down to try and pull up Becca's pant legs.
What happened? Who did it? I'll kill him!
Spinosaurus,
Becca mumbled as she shooed her mom away.
But it's already dead, and I'm fine, so stop fussing!
Before her mom could fuss over her anymore, Becca led us over to the tables, and the rest of the group started to take their seats. Our plates were already piled with steaming chili, and I resisted the urge to wolf it down like an animal. I hadn't eaten since our pasta last night, and I couldn't remember the last time I had homemade chili. Once we were all seated, I dug in as politely as possible, and Heiwan moaned with approval after just one bite. "How long have you all been here?" I asked the group. "And when did those dinos start creeping around outside?"
"We've been here since the start,"
a red-haired man piped up from across the tables. He had green-rimmed glasses and a freckled face.
"It was my idea,"
Tebby announced and laid a cloth napkin on her lap.
"I said to Janie that this would be the best spot." "Are you all from Ravenscar?"
Heiwan asked.
"Mostly," the red-haired man nodded. "There's one couple who were on holiday, but the rest of us are locals."
"Well, that's pretty cool," I said. "So you all know each other?"
"Yeah. I'm Harris, by the way," the man replied.
"He's a doctor,"
Debbie added.
"Good thing we got him on board, huh? Most precious member of the team."
"I wouldn't say that," Harris laughed. "We've got Stu. He's a farmer. Allison is the vet, so she has loads of medical knowledge, too."
"If you're a cat,"
Debbie snorted, and then she pointed to the corporal.
"She can help you, at least. We need an honest soldier in the group, but an honest-to-God bombshell of a soldier is even better."
The girls laughed, and I gratefully took another bite of my food. It was mostly beans, tinned tomatoes, and a small amount of rice, but it was seasoned to perfection. It felt luxurious to eat hot food after our journey.
"So tell us about your trip,"
Harris said as we ate.
"I can't believe you made it all this way. Are you all at Cambridge?"
Cat isn't," I said with a nod to the corporal. "The rest of us were just students who got lucky, I guess."
"Jason's an amazing fighter,"
Cat quickly added.
"He saved our asses on multiple occasions."
"We all do our bit," I countered. But I sent the beautiful soldier a smile. None of us would have made it alone.
"I don't know,"
Becca laughed.
"I think Heiwan would have managed."
"Is that right?"
Debbie asked, and she eyed the Korean beauty and winked.
"Bet you're a feisty one, eh? The little quiet ones always are."
Heiwan blushed and smiled while she shoveled more chili into her mouth. But then there was a loud thud outside, and the entire room shook. I glanced at Harris, but none of the locals seemed especially bothered, and I wondered if they really understood how much danger they were in.
"Have you seen the doorways on your up here?"
the man with the lip ring asked.
"The dino doors."
"That's Mikey,"
Debbie said through a mouthful of food.
"He worked in the little store."
"Doorways?" I asked. "Do you mean the portals? Those tears in the universe that the dinosaurs come out of?"
"That's it,"
Mikey nodded.
"They're fucking creepy. I saw one just before I came up here. A whole bunch of little flying ones came out."
Yeah, we've seen them," I answered, and wiped my mouth on a napkin. "They're all over the place, but we've noticed more and more as the days have gone by."
"It's getting worse,"
Kat agreed.
"Not to mention the nesting."
"There are eggs down near the surgery," Harris said. "I don't know what they belong to, but they were just about the size of me."
"Whoa," I whistled. "That's not good. We've seen how hostile the dinosaurs get around their nests. They were deadly to begin with, but it's a whole new level of slaughter fest out there now."
"So what's the deal with the ones outside?"
Becca asked.
"How come you're all just sitting in here while they stomp about in their gang? I don't mean to be a prat, but you're mental to let this go on."
"They only started doing it a couple of days ago," Harris sighed. "I don't know which one got there first, but each time I risked a peek outside, there seemed to be a new one."
"And they just walk around?"
Heiwan asked.
"They don't try and break in?"
"Not yet,"
Mikey said grimly.
"Why don't they just break down the walls?"
Harris asked as he glanced at the doorway.
"That's what I don't understand."
"They're planning," I said. "We've seen a lot of dinos on our journey, and they're becoming more organized, like real hunters rather than just mindless killers."
"It's true,"
Kat agreed.
"And by the looks of things, they've even started to form alliances with other dinos."
The other members of the group were quiet as we spoke, and I got the feeling none of them were exactly well-practiced in combat with the creatures. Or maybe they were in denial. As luxurious as Raven Hall seemed to be, it wouldn't take long for the herd outside to tear it apart if they decided to. Every dino that joined the herd before then would only make them stronger, and no one in here seemed prepared to handle the situation. If we were going to spend time in the castle long term, we would need to help out the locals with some kind of plan.
"So, Jason,"
Debbie said as she leaned around Becca to look at me.
"You got my baby girl here, all the way from Cambridge. Can I trust you to do a wine run for me next?"
"You've been stuck here without wine?"
Becca gasped.
How have you even survived this long?
It's been a bull week, I'll tell you that much.
Debbie scoffed.
This place was meant to get a big delivery of food and drink for a wedding right before shit hit the fan. The truck never made it, so was stuck with the pitiful contents of the freezer.
There's tins of beans in the cupboard, Mikey said. Fuck knows why. Who has beans at their wedding?
Probably for staff meals, Harris said, along with a few other tins. And all the cake in the freezers, that's about all we have.
Cake?
Haywan asked.
So much wedding cake, Harris groaned. As a medical professional, there are only so many times a day you can justify having vanilla cream for a meal.
We could do a food run, I offered. I mean, we got all this way. I'm sure we can handle securing more supplies.
Really?
Harris asked, as he peered over his glasses.
You would do that? But how on earth would you get past those creatures?
We did it once,
Becca said.
We could do it again.
You're not going anywhere, Missy,
Debbie scolded.
You've got a sore leg. You need to lie down.
I don't need to lie down,
Becca groaned.
I've laid down enough in the hospital. I want to help my man and friends.
Becca, I said, your mom's right. The more you rest, the sooner you'll be back to your old self.
I like this one,
Debbie laughed.
Have you got an available dad around?
I'm afraid he's happily married in the States, I laughed.
Shame.
Debbie sighed.
But in all seriousness, I don't want you kids getting mauled by those bastards the second you get in here.
Will there be anything left in the shops?
Kat asked.
Or in the houses, even?
I think most folks brought any supplies they had with them,
Debbie said.
But Mikey said the shop will be fully stocked.
Well, it should be, the young man carefully replied. I wasn't there when this all went down, so I didn't take anything.
There's no guarantee,
Kat warned.
People could have looted it by now.
Maybe, Mikey said. But we don't really get a lot of visitors, especially now.
I know where the shop is,
Becca huffed as she put down her fork.
I could lead the way and make sure no one gets
a... We'll manage, don't worry, I cut in and put a hand on her thigh, and the blonde Brit sent me a small smile. Harris, you said there's a nesting spot near the doctor's office?
That's right,
Harris said, and adjusted his glasses. Stay clear.
I brought most things of use from there, so there shouldn't be any need to swing by. There's one out near the beach, too, Mikey added. Don't know what those eggs are, but they're not too big. Maybe the size of my forearm.
We'll stick to the sheltered roads, I decided, as I scooped up the last of my chili. If we stay close to the edge of the woods and the houses, we'll have more cover.
You really need to be careful,
Harris warned, and he put down his fork before he leaned in closer.
There's something bad out there. Something unlike those creatures. It's so much faster. When it passes, the other dinos go quiet.
They do? I asked as I narrowed my eyes.
Not one roar, the red-haired man confirmed. Like they don't want to draw much attention to themselves all of a sudden.
Oh, God,
Becca groaned.
What is it then? A T-Rex?
T-Rexes aren't too fast, I replied. And Spinos are supposed to be bigger. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't keep up with that Triceratops herd we saw earlier. Not for long, anyway.
Then what?
Becca's next question was cut off with a roar that shook the room, and Harris's face was suddenly drained of all color. There was a rattling screech and flapping of wings outside, and the herd around us sounded like they had started to scatter. The sudden flurry of footsteps made chili bowls crash onto the hardwood floor, and the two children in the room dove under the tables. Some members of the group raced out of the main hall, and a few of them joined the kids in hiding. I looked at the girls, and as the roars grew louder, it was clear something terrible was on its way.